If you hear unusual, strange noises, it's just that I'm fighting a cold, and I'm fine, and this is the better end of it, but I was greatly encouraged by some others who had a cold as well, so thanks for the encouragement. I made the mistake of shaking somebody's hand. You know who you are. I didn't want to shake your hand, but I couldn't help it. Marcel and I were having some reminiscing time, funny, good times we'd think together over these years. And he convinced me that I should go out to the monastery with him. He had already been, so he knew what it was like. And I was following around like, you know, yes, boy. Follow me. And of course, the monks go to bed really early, like 9 o'clock. We didn't know what to do with ourselves. They were still praying probably, but we were finished. And but it was, if you know, you eat with them. So they come in and there's a ding. And so there's the monks and then other people, important people, I guess, and then ourselves. He didn't know. So I'm just kind of walking behind him, trying to watch to do what he's doing so we don't be offensive to the monks. And we were trying to keep a straight face because there was, they tell stories to each other. Like, as they're eating, they tell the story, like a book out of a book, some adventure or something. And so it was, it didn't sound as funny me telling it, but it sure was funny at the time. As we were, he's more monkish than I am, so if anybody could get him a robe, he would be very happy. It was not as bad as the night we went to the movie together. I drank too much pop, and I said to Marcel, I got to find the washroom here. I'll be right. No, he says, there's only 15 minutes left. No, I said, I'll be right back. So we were in Seattle, and I darted out. And I came out of the washroom. Nothing looked familiar. How could it not be familiar? I just walked out of there. And so I walked, and I couldn't find my way. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know there was two layers of the theater. So I darted into the washroom, or I came out of the washroom, and I said, did I miss much? And this person looks at me. It's not the same. It's somebody else. He wondered where I had gone to. So how am I going to find him? Wandering around, and there was a film on both levels, but it was set off, so you didn't go. I don't know why they had that way, but lots of good times. Colossians: If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. I wrote a little thing in the bulletin or in the notes, and it was an acrostic. That please be patient with me. God's not finished with me yet. I'll say that again. Please be patient with me. God's not through with me yet. That's just the wonderful truth. That there's a plan. God's got a plan to grow us. God's got a plan to grow you, to grow me. It's a definite plan. It's been carved into everything that's important. God wants that to happen. He saved us not simply to take us to heaven. Heaven's going to be some days you'd like to go rather than other days, wouldn't you? But this plan touches God's heart, and it's important to Him and important to us that we follow it and we live it together. Val and I were talking last night about. When were we married? Maybe, I think we were married. Not quite sure. But anyway, we would talk together. Oh, we were at Bible school. I just thought of something. We'd have a chance to pray together, and we'd always pray about God's plan for our life, God's plan for our life, God's plan for our life. And now, at this end of the whole thing, is that we still feel that God's got a plan for us. Now, she's here today to verify that. God's got a plan for her. God's got a plan for me. And it doesn't matter whether you're 85 or 8, God's got a plan. And it's imperative that you not just seek salvation where, you know, you invite Jesus to come into your heart. That's powerful and right and good and needful. But it leads somewhere. It leads to something. The greater plan is not for you to get saved. The greater plan is to do his course for you, so that I am following the course that God has given me and that God has given you. So God's got a plan to grow us. And what a plan it is. And you know, they say about the kingdom of God, it's already, the kingdom of God has come, the kingdom of God yet comes. He's coming, yet he's coming as well. And it's the same there with our personal growth, that there's a spiritual journey, and the already and the not yet clash. They say, well, I thought you said he's finished with me. It's a finished work in our hearts and our lives. Christ has been put into our lives, into the very core of our being. And yet there's another thing that's still going on. Whereas I am complete in Jesus, and yet he's still working on me. He's still shaping me, still molding me. And you say, well, I thought he was done. I thought this was a finished work, that Jesus touches us, and there's a touch of justification followed by a touch of sanctification, and then it must be over. No, it's ongoing right until you feel his arms around you. And when you feel his arms around you, then we can rest and go home. But in the meanwhile, the plan is to grow us from babyhood to childhood to maturity. And the Lord, this has this great plan for us, and our job is to believe it. And so you ask yourself, does God still have a plan for me? Yeah, I believe so. And I'm to trust him that the plan is dead on. It's not off. It didn't miss anything. It's straight ahead. Focus on that. Spend the rest of your days just discovering what God's great plan is for you, because it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. And we said, look, when we were young people at a Bible college, what were we, 23, somewhere in there, we said, wow, we really had a sense of God had a plan for us, and we were pretty excited. And when we got married, it took Lauren Pritchard and Ed Bradley and a few others to pull it off. It was so colossal. That's such a big item. To us, it was big. Now I'm not sure I don't know why there was two of them, but there was. But it was all about God's plan for us. And for you today, it's important that you not lose sight and give up on the thing, well, I guess there's not a plan. Oh, there's a plan. And your job, my job, is to believe it and to stir it up. The plan where God, he set you aside for holy purposes. He has not changed his mind. It will take you right to heaven. But you can forget that. You kind of get into the workload. You get into this. You get into that. And you wonder, does God still have a plan? Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's any less. It's just this glorious thing that he wants to do. And as we just kind of nodded to each other, that we have felt that the plan goes on. Even though we're older, there's a freshness in God's plan. There's an excitement in it. And so we just present that. Just stir it up. Believe it and trust it that God is going to come to pass in every way possible. You won't be disappointed if you focus. Say, Lord, I pray that you would reveal to me your plan for my life. Not just to be saved. That is a glorious thing. But beyond salvation to this bright, bright future that he has carved for you and for me. Which brings me to number two. This plan that he has is to shape our hearts into Christ Jesus. He's molding us. There are things about me that he says, I'm going to change you on. You're this or you're that, but I'm going to change you. I'm going to work in your life, and I want permission from you. Because he's a gentleman. He won't knock the door down, but he waits patiently for us to yield to him, and he shapes our heart into Jesus. And that... sometimes it's uphill and it's always bumpy. You wonder why it doesn't get easier. but it can't. It's a precious thing. And the shaping of your heart, God, well, maybe I could bring it. Jesus is far more interested in your character than he is what you do. I'll say that again. Jesus is far more interested in your character than he is in what you do, or how big your ministry is, or how successful your business is. Those are not the things that he measures by. This. He measures it by how Christ-like you are and how Christ-like I am. That process that goes on in your life and my life, we're on the anvil, and he pounds it, and he shapens it, and it's out in the, it's like the dead of night, and he's got us on this anvil, and he's pounding it and burning it and cooling it and shaping it. Why? Because he that started a good work will continue it to the day of Jesus. He will continue it. And you just, even as you walk out of here this morning, just say to yourself, God has a plan for me. And again, you say, well, I'm too old. But no, you're not. No, no, you're not. You're just right. That nothing changes on that area. So, number three, seeing that God is already working on us this year, next year, the last year, we already have all we need in Christ Jesus in one sense. It's all available. And yet, we await our glorified bodies and the rewards to be given out. There's a lot of things going on. Even as I saw the news, you know, you watch the news and you're kind of horrified all the things that are going on. And you say, boy, has God got a plan in the midst of that? Yes. Not one thing is off track for him. Does he know about this? Mm-hmm. He knows all about it. Does he know about it? Yes, he knows about that. I thought, wow, it's a wonderful thing when you realize that these purposes of God go on and nothing can thwart them because they're sovereign by our Lord. Our purpose, as we await our glorified bodies, our purpose as a disciple is to become like Christ. We become like the one that we love. And so it's not a matter of doing religious, holy things. It's a matter of just continue to fall in love with Christ and focus on his love and his care, and you become like the one that you focus on. I look back in my life, people that influenced me, people that have affected me, and I noticed that they were never into roles or into holy things. They were never. The ones that I'm thinking of as I grew up in the things of the Lord. It's kind of funny how that is, but the more I think about that, they were very grace-filled people. They understood the message of the grace of eternal life and what life is all about when you know the Lord. And so there are trials, and there are tribulations, and there are challenges, and these things are ordained by God. They're all ordained by God. We rejoice, the writer says. He says, we rejoice in our suffering. Are you sure? We rejoice in our suffering knowing that endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And so we say, wow, it does. When we suffer something, when we go through a difficult time and we're not sure what's happening, we simply trust the Lord that this thing is being shaped, is shaping us. So here's the statement. This is a definitive statement for the morning, for this message this morning. And here it is. Life is about building character. If you can hang on to that, your life will take a very sharp turn. And there will be great growth. Life is about building character. That's what he's up to. That's what he's doing in my heart and your life, building character. I think I've said this before, but many go through life with their umbilical cord in their hand looking for a place to plug it in. I think it's true. It's sad, but it's true. They're not focused on the area that they should. But here's the blessedness of this, the joy of this, the power of this. You can take your character to heaven. Heaven is not going to be formed when you land there, when you can say, well, here I am in heaven, it will be all that built up over these years, that act, that moment, that until when you go to heaven, you go with all of the things in your life, and you can take your character to heaven. I'm planning on it, that I'll have something to present to Jesus, that there was some faithfulness, something that I could, that as I come, that I see him and he says, well done. He says it to you, well done. I thought, what a powerful thing that is, that you can take it to heaven. It's not wasted. When you endured, when you hung in there, when you stayed sweet, when you didn't have to, you could have been really angry and upset, but you didn't. You hung on and say, Lord, somehow I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe for you. I'm going to look to you. Lord, I'm so frustrated now, and I feel like, what's the point of going on? But Lord, I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Oh, man. Imagine you can take it. You can't take it with you. Yes, you can. Every part of your character you can take to heaven. And the Lord will decide all the who gets the reward or who doesn't get the reward. But it's exciting when you see it that way, because then everything you do matters. And it matters in a very important way. Every problem for a Christian has a loving purpose, even if it doesn't seem like it. That accident or that illness or that problem, it may not seem to me that important, but it's important, and it has a loving purpose to it. And God will use whatever you're going through. God will use whatever you're going through and use it as another step in your growth in love and progress. That's what he's working on. And he'll just use it. Are you having a difficulty in this area? He'll use it. How about that way? Yeah, he'll use it. Doesn't matter what it is. As long as I drop to my knees and say, Lord, please use this for your glory in my life. May my character be shaped yet another. I'm not going to wave my fist at you. I love you, Lord, and I'm going to follow you. And I found myself telling the Lord, it doesn't matter what happens. I'm not going to turn back. I'm going on. I'm pressing on. Are you pressing on? You need to be. I need to be. I'm pressing on to the holy calling in Christ Jesus and all the joy that brings, the things that it produces. It will be another step in your growth, in love, in progress, in transformation. And so we can ask a question. How do we know that we're growing to be like Jesus? How do we know? How do we know we are? Maybe we're just fooling ourselves. No, I don't think so. I think the older we get, the more loving we should become. The older we get, the more loving we should become. And the more our relationships are marked by love. You can tell how you're doing by the progress, wonderful progress. You should be more loving. I should, if I'm not more loving this year, then there's something wrong, because it should produce, keep on producing. And the greater our relationships are marked by love. If you're a cratchety old, whatever you might be, whatever I might be, how does God get glory in that? Right? That we say, Lord, let me be fruitful at every age of my life. Let me be, especially a fruitful Christian. And you say, but I've got this problem or that problem. Yeah, we know all that. We knew that before. But this is an opportunity to develop character right on into eternity. Or you can be a difficult person, an irritable person, and you're known as a selfish person. Who wants that? That to me is such a horrendous thought. If it comes to that, that you spend your whole life, and they say, how was he? He was grumpy. Spent a lot of time being grumpy. Yeah, well, that's a real joy. That ought to bring a lot of glory to God. How do the neighbors see him? Oh, grumpy. Kind of a troubled guy. No, no. No, please, Lord. Because we have a which way we're going to grow, but we have an opportunity to become like Jesus. That wonderful process that he works. The mark of a Christian is the quality and the strength of the love. And so, starting with my marriage, if Val doesn't see Jesus in my heart, boy, what have I been doing? If your husband or your wife hasn't sensed the Lord, it's a good opportunity to come and say, Lord, there's something quite not right here. I should be growing in such a way I can measure. The older you get, and by the way, I got a hundred of stories I could tell you, but I'll give you one because I've said it so many times. There was a fellow, they called him Brother Neve. He was an ordained minister, and he was about 1,000 years old, I guess, when I knew him. And Brother Neve, a very wonderful, loving man that, boy, if you didn't love this guy, you'd have a real problem. And so, you know how he lived, everybody loved him. He lost a lot of health in the last years, and he was in the hospital near Kindersley. And so they were looking after him. He was close to 90, I think. And so they were looking after him, and they were washing him, and they were looking after him and tidying him and wiping him, you know, just what you do when you're in the hospital and you're 90. And the nurses were going about their work, and all of a sudden there was a kerfuffle, something. What was that? They looked around, and Brother Neve sat bolt upright. I mean, just bolt upright. Looked into what? You tell me. And said, "Praise God." Fell back down. The whole ward broke into tears. All the staff, everybody, they always broke into tears. Whatever, the presence of the Lord, you know, just descended in that place. But I think it was, here was a child of God, 90 years old. What did he see? Did he see Jesus? Maybe. Did he see the angels? I don't know. All I know, that's how I want to go. Is that how you want to go? Sitting bolt upright, praise God! We're going home. Instead of other things you could be saying. See, that everybody loved that man. Why? Not he had everything. He had lots of things to complain about too. Right? You're not alone in this thing, the suffering thing. Everybody's got something to suffer about. But the mark of a Christian is the quality and strength of their love. And well, I'll come to some more things here. Love in our relationships. To answer the question, how do we respond to criticisms showing how much we're growing? Isn't that powerful? How do we handle criticisms? You say, Pastor, you were preaching, now you're meddling. How do we respond to criticisms? If somebody takes a strip off us, you say, how dare you do that? That fleshly thing rises up and Colossians 3 falls apart because it can't be fulfilled then. See, life is about building Christ-like character hearts that are full of love and joy. And I know this to be true. Let me just read it as I wrote it. That life is about building character in Jesus. And until we understand this, life is not going to make sense. And I'll say that to you here today. If you don't catch that life is about building character, you'll miss it every time. It's about leaving a deposit of love. And we can all participate. There's not... nobody could left and say, well, it wasn't fair. I didn't. Oh, no, you'll get a chance if you let the Lord mold you and shape you. There are people that I know that I am so impressed with them. I'm so impressed with them because I see the real thing. I see the real love and the solidness of their relationships, and they're always thinking of somebody else. We've got people at church, in this church like that. They just think of others. They're not thinking of themselves. They're thinking of others. And wow, and we have a moment to follow that little traffic. I said, Lord, I want to be like that. Years ago when I was single, now when was that, right? I stayed with a couple. They were just ordinary people. I mean, really ordinary. Look, but they were part of the church, Grace Tabernacle. It must have been in the 70s, I guess. And I stayed with them. I was like a boarder. I stayed in their house. And I was there probably for a year. And I saw them laughing together and talking together and sharing together. And it was just delightful. Matter of fact, I had never been in a Christian home. Actually, I don't think I had been. That was really a Christian home. And I stayed there, and it was so impacting, the strength of their love, the depth of their character, that I found myself praying night after night. Can you believe this? I was night after night saying, Lord, make me like Dave and Joyce. Make me like Dave and Joyce. Lord, make me like Dave and Joyce. Why? Because that's the closest I'd ever seen to the real thing. I saw their care for each other, and it was just authentic, an authentic relationship with Christ that left some powerful things. And by the way, on that note, here's something I think it might be in your notes as well, but perhaps not. Thoughtless words leave lasting wounds. I'll say it again. Thoughtless words leave lasting wounds. It's really important. Our words are important. You can say something that puts an arrow right through somebody, right through to the other side, and it'll take them a lifetime. There are people that know where they were standing when somebody really just let it fly. Just a hurtful thing. And these are Christians. I was at a board meeting, not in this church. It wasn't. It was another church that I was asked to come and sit down and to be part of it, just to try and get some semblance of sanity out of it. And I'm sitting behind somebody from the church, that church. And I all of a sudden this person shouts, or kind of shouts out, "You, he's a loud. What is he? A liar. He's a liar." I thought, oh great, this is fine. Here we are, trying to change the world. And there's a church membership group that are fighting to kick out the pastor or something else. I don't know what they were trying to do. I thought, there's not one single thing. This is not growing in Christlikeness. This is from the devil. But they couldn't see it. And I remember going home that night saying, there's got to be more than this. We will not win the world to Christ when we act like that. And we can have all the excuses of why I said that. But anyway, when we do blow it, when we say thoughtless words, and we have the opportunity to say, I'm sorry, whether it's to a spouse or whether it's outside, it's to somewhere else, but we have just this great opportunity to say, I'm terribly sorry what I said. Please forgive me. I should never have said that. Or if I said it, I shouldn't have said it that way. Will you forgive me? Because I don't know why I said that. But just, oh, the wounding. And think of the people that they need to be built up and encouraged and strengthened so that we are walking examples of what it means to follow Jesus. And some people, fair enough, some people are easier to love than other people. Isn't that true? I think that'd be true. And I'm sure you want to be, and I want to be one of those people that remind people of Christ, that your heart is bubbling over and you're encouraged in the things of the Lord, and you're prepared to ask the Lord to love you, to love more through you than ever before, to press in ways that you never dreamed possible that God could do in your life. And so we find ourselves forced to say, please be patient with me. God's not finished with me yet. And this is the one saving grace here, is that he isn't finished with you. It's not too late. It's just the right time. It's just the right time to decide now and when the coming of the Lord. I appreciate that prophetic word here this morning about the coming of the Lord. There's a lot going on with that. And so in the midst of that, we want to be living examples of somebody who's had an encounter with Christ and hasn't got over it. That they say, this is what I do. I serve the Lord. Well, amen. And when that person says, could you please be patient with me? God's not through with me. Yes, we can be. Why? Because I've blown it. You've blown it. I've said things that have hurt Val. Why would I do that? Can anybody think why somebody would hurt their wife, hurt her feelings? Would you? No, just a male. I don't think I'm a male. Because it doesn't make sense any other way. But she loves me still. And I thought I was so clever, right? You know, you can always tell when your wife's been affected by what you said. It's like putting your arm around a refrigerator. And is it something I said? Silence. Was it, you should know. I'm afraid I don't know. Well, you should know. And we got that thing fixed. I should have known. No. I guess what I'm saying here is that this power of love, you can measure everything by it. And for Valley Church, as it goes forward, it must go forward in love. We must grow. We must be constantly deepening that so that it seems credible when people come. Programs, and that's not good. They can get lots of programs. But you can't get love anywhere except for you get it from the Lord. This wonderful opportunity to be full of Him, agape love. A care, a concern, not religious. As a matter of fact, most people that I know who really put Christ at the center, they're not religious at all. Actually, they're very non-religious. They just live it out, and it's a beautiful thing to see. So this spiritual journey that we're on this trip together. And where we need to be forgiven, we forgive. And then we prop each other up and we encourage each other. And then we do that the next day, the next day, and the next day, just living and loving and enjoying what God has done and knowing that God has a plan. So He's got a plan for you and for me. The major part of it is development of Christ-likeness, that I become like Jesus. The other parts of it are how He wants to use you in other people's lives. And this new year just about upon us, and here we have a chance to tell the story again, but with love. Well, Jesus touched my life, and because He touched my life, I know He's got a plan for me. And you think about that, because I want to pray for you this morning, this afternoon. I want to pray for you that the plan would not be. You don't want to get off on that. When He saved you and came into your heart. The plan began. And I've been a part of this thing. And it's pretty exciting. I said to Val, I said, you know, I think there's some really good things that we just rejoice and believe in as we did when we were younger. It's just a little different. And the purposes and the plans are still there. It never, right till the end. Right, and as long as the spirit of Brother Neve lives on, right, this guy who's shouting the praises of the Lord, I want that to be me. I want that to be you. That a whole ward of people stop right when they're working. They stop. You know, what was that? That was a man of God going to heaven, and there's nothing like it. Unbelievable. Stand with me, if you would. I would just be thrilled if I could pray for you. I can honestly say this to you. When I gave my heart to Christ as a young teenager, I thought it was about going to church and everything, because that's what, you live in a little town, that's what you would think probably. But then I began to see there was something going on, and I ended up, actually living up in another city in Winnipeg, and I ended up at this Dave and Joyce, these people, and I ended up at some Bible camps where I was doing some work with them, and I ended up at a Bible school, Bible college, and all of a sudden things began to shape and change, and then I started to realize there's a plan. God's been working here. He's working in my heart. And then I began, and so I would come, and I would, if I was ever in church service, and they would say, anybody want to come and just present themselves before the Lord, just feel free to come up to the altar and kneel before the Lord. And every time there was an altar call, I mean every time, I must have been the chronic guy, I'd come up and I'd kneel down and say, Lord, thank you for your plan for my life. Thank you for your plan for my life. I remember standing on top of a hill outside on Last Mountain Lake. It's a lake that's 90 miles long. And it was there one night, I mean, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. And I was praying and I said, Lord, is this part of the plan? Sitting here in the dark. And I felt the Lord say, Owen, my word is forever and 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 forever. And my word is forever. My presence is forever. People are forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. And I knew that whatever else it was, I would be involved with people and I'd be involved with the scriptures. I just, that much I knew. So I presented myself again. And then down through the years, to present myself at an altar, because I just didn't want to miss it. Whatever God was up to, I wanted to be in the center. I wanted not to be watching it, I wanted to be in it. Knowing that he's put his hand on my life and your life. It's not unique to me. It's unique to all of us. But we have to present ourselves as living sacrifices. You can sit on the bench if you want. I mean, you can sit there. God still loves you, and you can get to go to heaven, because heaven is for sinners. But the good stuff is to those that say, about your plan now. Do you have a plan for me? And watch what happened. How that works out here, and that turns there, and this was over here. And you look back, and you say, that was amazing. God was there. God is in your situation too. It's not unique in that way. I just wonder what he's going to do with you. Won't that be exciting? Won't that be rewarding to watch that, to see how God changed you and you where you almost gave up but you didn't. These are the things that fill us with great joy. And so as I pray for you, I pray that you'll begin that journey. And again, down the road, two nights or 2 days from now or 2 moments from now, you might be kneeling again at some service here and just saying, Lord, I just present myself to you. Another time you might be somewhere else. You're walking in the woods and you say, God, I just feel the need to pray and tell you that I love you and I want to follow you. And whatever plan you have, God, that's great. I just want to make sure, Lord, it's a plan, your plan and not mine. And once again, you find yourself presenting yourself again. And I say, pretty soon, your life has gone by. You say, wow, that went fast. And in some ways, the plan is revealed. In other ways, it still is going on. It's yes, 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 yeah, I guess. There's some times when it's a little slow. And I wonder, Lord, are you sure this is how it's supposed to be? I feel assured that the plan is ready to roll. And it has to do with you. So what I'd like to, I'd just love to pray for you that you don't miss it. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the call as a child of God. And when maybe you thought, well, I'm this or I'm that, don't give up on this. Some of the most significant things will happen to you this next while. And I feel, by the way, I feel that for myself too. Some significant things. And as we pray together, Thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you for the plan you have for each one of us. And I pray from one side of the auditorium to the other and all through the balcony, I pray for the divine plan that's going on. And it's you, Lord, you're engineering it. You're the architect. I pray you just would rest your hand upon each man, each woman, each person that's here today. I pray, God, that they would be aware. Just maybe even tears will come to their eyes as they think about this, as to where this will, how this will entail everybody. But Lord, I thank you that your plan has always been this way. So thank you. Lord, we present ourselves to you. We want you to show us where we're supposed to go with this. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us where we got excited and we stepped off the path. But Lord, we're here this morning and we're back on it. And we say, Lord, we want to do your will. We want to do your will. We want to do your will. And we know we won't miss it. Lord, we just know we won't. And it'll be yay and amen. And we thank you and we praise you that this is a good day, Lord, in the days ahead, even though the world seems to be falling around apart around us. Lord, we thank you. In the midst of that, we're doing your will and planning what your purpose is in our lives. So, Lord, stretch forth your hand to us, and may we be filled with you, and we'll thank you, and we'll praise you. And, Lord, we'll look back and say, boy, wasn't it wonderful how God worked in so many people's lives. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. In the strong, yes, indeed, the strong name of Jesus, we praise you. We bless you. Hallelujah. Let's just thank him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you. We bless you. We bless you. A wonderful plan. Thank you. Amen. I hope you can stay for coffee. And I think it's just about the right temperature, the coffee that is. Thanks for being here this morning. Bless you. Thank you. Father, thank you for the plan you have for each one of us. And I pray from one side of the auditorium to the other and all through the balcony, I pray for the divine plan that's going on. And it's you, Lord, you're engineering it. You're the architect. I pray you just would rest your hand upon each man, each woman, each person that's here today. I pray, God, that they would be aware. Just maybe even tears will come to their eyes as they think about this, as to where this will, how this will entail everybody. But Lord, I thank you that your plan has always been this way. So thank you. Lord, we present ourselves to you. We want you to show us where we're supposed to go with this. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us where we got excited and we stepped off the path. But Lord, we're here this morning and we're back on it. And we say, Lord, we want to do your will. We want to do your will. We want to do your will. And we know we won't miss it. Lord, we just know we won't. And it'll be yay and amen. And we thank you and we praise you that this is a good day, Lord, in the days ahead, even though the world seems to be falling around apart around us. Lord, we thank you. In the midst of that, we're doing your will and planning what your purpose is in our lives. So Lord, stretch forth your hand to us and may we be filled with you, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you. And Lord, we'll look back and say, boy, wasn't it wonderful how God worked in so many people's lives. We thank you, Lord. We bless you in the strong, yes, indeed, the strong name of Jesus. We praise you. We bless you. Hallelujah. Let's just thank him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you. We bless you. We bless you. A wonderful plan. Thank you. Amen. I hope you can stay for coffee. And I think it's just about the right temperature, the coffee that is. Thanks for being here this morning. Bless you.